أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. الله صل على اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر، وحفه بملائكتك المقربين، وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. It is indeed a pleasure to see so many young faces, and I say specifically young faces, on such a day where we get together to remember that personality that gives us our identity as she is. It is not just remembering any imam, it is not just remembering any aspect of our faith, it is remembering that one savior who will come and save us and save the whole mankind. And to see so many young people here is indeed a pleasure. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the chosen soldiers of the Imam when he reappears, inshallah. As a speaker, sandwiched between scholars makes my task more difficult. For before me, you have heard eloquent and excellent presentations on how we as believers in the Imam have individual and collective duties towards the Imam. So I will not repeat what they have said, for half of my speech has gone, but the other half, alhamdulillah, is still there, which I will talk about, inshallah. The first thing that I would like to draw our attention to is understanding our Imam. When I was in Iran, I had the opportunity to meet a few scholars. And I was with a group, we went to one such scholar, and we were talking about the Imam and how he would reappear and establish his kingdom and so on. And suddenly he turns around and says, can I ask you a question? It's fine. He says, what, tell me in your own words, what do you expect from the Imam? When he reappears, what is he going to do? And we were a group of around 10 or 20 people, and each one had his own version. One was saying, oh, there are so many disputes that are going on, even between mu'mineen. You know, we have become such a society now that father will not talk to the son, brothers will not look at each other. So he says, I hope the Imam reappears and resolves these disputes. Fine. Went on to the next one. The next one says, oh, there is so much persecution going on against Shias, against Muslims. The Imam will come and remove all this. So everybody was giving their own version of what they expected the Imam to do. And at the end of our submissions, the scholar looks at us and says, you know, all that you have said can easily be accomplished by an ordinary human being. What we make the mistake is to think that our Imam will act like a marja, can resolve our disputes, establish a kingdom, rule over us. And he says, what is happening is that you are forgetting the actual status of the Imam, where he is the representative of Wilayatullah on this earth. Where he says, when you say in dua nudba, ayna sababul muttasilu bayna al-ardi was-sama. So forget what you expect him to establish. True, he will establish with the help of Allah. He will establish a kingdom of justice. He will bring back justice. He will remove and break all the ideologies, all the isms, including the progressism. All the isms will be destroyed. But never forget that the Imam has a role that is much higher than that. That the Imam is that spiritual link between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what my esteemed scholars meant, that when you look at individual reform, we are supposed to first and foremost look at how we can link with the Imam as a spiritual link first. Are my actions up to par? Do I know that when my sins go up? I know this. I have been told this. I have been continuously told by scholars from the members and from the pulpits, by my teachers in madrasa, by my parents. But how much do I remember that when I sin, the sahifat a'mal, the deed of actions that I do, go to the Imam. And what happens? The Imam weeps that my believers, because I am not there to help them, my believers who call on me to reappear today are not even bothered about religion. We who want to call the Imam to come and reappear, how much can we say that we are true believers and that we know we are rightful Muslims? So that is the first aspect. The individual reform is the primary. Now, I know I have been a youth activist since my young days. And I appeal to all these youth organizations, the people who lead these youth organizations here, to understand one thing, that there has to be a balance between individual duty and collective duty. That whilst we want to bring collective reform, we want to organize such summer camps, we want to organize such conferences, at the end of the day, it cannot be at the expense of our individual reform. I am better off, and I say this with all challenge, I say this with all confidence, I am better off becoming and being a good Muslim than to give up those good Muslim practices and trying to rally the whole world around me. It's not going to work. It has to be balanced between our individual reform and collective reform. And we have a duty towards collective reform. And there are some actions, and I wish to draw light on particularly one of them, which has been mentioned in books of ahadith during the ghaiba as something that we are all supposed to practice individually. But what we do at an individual level spills over to the social and collective level. And therefore, I'm just drawing attention to one such action that is in the ahadith, that during the era of occultation, the ghaiba, we are supposed to practice that individually, and how it has a bearing on collective level. And I wish to draw attention to what is called taqiyya. What is taqiyya? You know, we have somehow parked taqiyya because we feel it is not applicable to us. Taqiyya, to define taqiyya, taqiyya is to hide one's faith in order to save one's life. So, if I am living under persecution, and history is full of those times, where during the time of Banu Abbas, Banu Umayyah, the Shias had to hide their true faith. You don't have to go to the time of Banu Abbas and Banu Umayyah. Go to Pakistan and Syria today. Go to Iraq today. You will find in some instances people have to hide their faith. People have to hide the fact that they're Shias because they are being persecuted. They are being targeted. They are being killed. They are being slaughtered. So they hide their faith. So that is, in effect, practice of taqiyya. But when you open the book of ahadith, you find it is like almost insisting on everybody to practice taqiyya. Be sure you practice taqiyya. Laysa minna man. It's not from amongst us somebody who does not practice taqiyya. So much importance given to taqiyya, and today I can put hands on my chest and say, oh, I'm living in a free country. Why do I need taqiyya? I don't need taqiyya. I'm living in Britain, Great Britain, the champion of freedom. Nobody will touch me. I can proclaim I'm Mashiach. That's true. But in that freedom, we have taken a step ahead. Sayyid Muhammad Sadiq al-Sadr, may Allah elevate his status, who's written this volume on Mawsu'at al-Imam Mahdi, عجل الله تعالى فرجه. اللهم صل على محمد. He writes about this concept of taqiyya, and he says we have to redefine taqiyya to explain that taqiyya is hiding your faith in order to save lives, period. Whether it is your life or somebody else's life. So we hide our true faith to save lives. In today's world, whilst we are sitting here, what happens is that we have the courage, we have the freedom, not only to talk freely about what we believe in, but to take a step and start displaying various manifestations of our tabarra. So yes, may Allah's curse be on the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. And we start manifestation of our belief. It is our belief. Anybody who is a Shia is Tabarra'i. Any questions about that? No question. But what Shaheed Muhammad Sadiq al-Sadr, and truly may Allah elevate his status, said in his book then, that taqiyya is to hide that so that you save lives, because by bringing that out in a free country where nobody is going to stop you, you don't know where it spills over and affects our believers in countries where they don't have freedom. And we have, because of the channels that we have in this free country, because of our actions here that we do in this free country, what happens is that in those countries where they have restricted freedom, you find the Shias are being targeted, they're being killed. And so I urge my brothers and sisters that during the era of Ghaiba to preserve and to allow the madhab of tashayya to survive, we need to practice taqiyya as explained by Shaheed Muhammad Sadiq al-Sadr. I end with a last message. And that is that when the Imam reappears, what do we envisage being? We want to be soldiers, we want to be supporters, we call ourselves soldiers, we call ourselves Ansar, Imam. You know, when he comes, let us be amongst his chosen companions. But how do we get there? True, we prepare ourselves, we get ready. But in that dua, iftitah, that we're going to recite every day in the month of Ramadan, we say, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله. And then we add وتجعلنا, and make us amongst them, فيها, in that nation that we are asking for, وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك. Make us in that nation amongst those who will lead others, who will call others towards your obedience. You know, I remember these words of a scholar very quickly. He says, you people think that everything is like a light switch, you know. You can't switch on and off. He says, you pray to the Imam that you want to be amongst the leaders to call others towards the obedience of God. You think that when the Imam reappears, you can switch off and say, okay, now I'm ready to call people towards God. It doesn't work like that. He says, you have to practice. You have to start before the Imam reappears, calling others towards the path of Allah, so that when the Imam reappears, he knows that you are already an established person who calls others towards the obedience of Allah. And therefore he selects you, chooses you, and says, yes, you are somebody capable of fitting in this category of people who will call others towards obedience of Allah. As Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. كونوا دعاتا لنا بغير ألسنتكم. That be callers towards us, call towards us. That is Ahl al-Bayt. That is the way of Allah. Call towards us, but don't use your tongue. And this is not a riddle or a puzzle. All Imam meant was let your actions reflect that you are inviting others towards the path which you believe in. If we can do that, just improve ourselves, and it goes back to individual reform. If we can do that, then we will have fulfilled our duty of what we have to do during the ghaibah, during the occultation of the Imam. I end this with a prayer that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the reappearance of our Imam, inshallah. And when the Imam reappears, may we be amongst those who are in the vanguard of responding to the Imam, of helping the Imam, and dedicating our lives to the cause of Imam, inshallah. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.